Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Brian, and I have a trading problem.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 414 of the TradeX podcast. We're even the network went away. The dap's always here to stay. Come on, Brian, give me a dap. Yeah, there we go. And as you can hear, no Rocky tonight. He had some stuff come up tonight. So it's just going to be me and Brian. But you know what? You can never have too much Brian. So, Brian, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. You know, NFL draft just wrapped up. I've been knee-deep in rookie drafts already, so I've been wheeling and dealing, sliding those trades all over the place.
Good. Yeah, we haven't gotten TA League's rookie draft started. I think they start kind of early next week. But, I'm proud of you for doing the rookie draft this early because some people wait for quite a while. I will say, though, if you do the rookie draft before the NFL draft, that's crazy.
That's madness.
Do one for fun, like for the fun of it, but don't do all that. But before we get into stuff, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
It's at @too_much_Brian if you're looking at me on Twitter. Most of my stuff's run up through there. I've got a show, Too Much Fantasy Football, part of the Fantasy Football Advice Network. Ooh, struggling there, putting it all together. But yeah, there's so many people out there so much smarter than me. I just try to bring a little fun, a little levity, a little entertainment to the fantasy football process.
You do a very good job of it. People who don't see Brian, he's out in the streets. You'll always see him posting some fun stuff. So, okay. Before we get into the draft stuff, we actually had news. So, Brian, for your context, we haven't recorded since the week before the draft.
Nice.
So, we've had a couple weeks of news. So, big one obviously being AJ Brown. Let's just say it's a handshake agreement at this point, right? Like, they're going to figure it out. It seems like
handshake they drafted a wide receiver.
Maybe. Yeah. A little bit of a fist bump, you know, the whole thing. So AJ Brown is going to be a Patriot on June 1st. For those who don't know, there's a contract. There's a part of his contract that like voids after June 1 and makes him much easier to move. So I guess there's a few things to take away here, Brian. And let's start with, would you rather have AJ Brown or Devontae Smith? No. For context, I think they're like 2 years apart in age.
Like 2026, or I guess 2026, I think I'd be okay, AJ Brown. But like Dynasty, obviously, I think I'd rather have Devonta Smith.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I think in terms of Dynasty, he's probably – I think they're both top 15. And I think
– oh, yeah.
It's crazy that we're there already with AJ. We're back. We're putting him right back where he belongs. But he has a very good quarterback and an offense that's going to figure out how to use him. So I already asked Dynasty rankings. So how does this affect the QBs for you, for Hurts and for May? Obviously, May was already pretty high in Dynasty. He's doing that thing where we like put him way too high. But where are you on May now?
Honestly, I'm probably not moving him too much more. You know, may go up a spot or two for me, but it's I don't overreact. You know, we see it often. Things happen. Drake May is unfortunately looking like he's trying to be one of those like really good actual quarterbacks and pass the ball and distribute it a lot. It's like, you know, we didn't see it a lot of hyper targeting last year. So I don't know if AJ Brown's going to see the exact same treatment, but for the most part, I think it's all going to look pretty good. You know, right around there, the top five is where he feels pretty secure. And then on the other side, Jalen Hurts, he's still going to do things. You know, I like him anywhere between like 3-6, I feel really comfortable with just him going in that direction. But I don't hate it. You know, them bringing up Mekhi Lemon and Stowers out of the draft kind of helps fill that void a bit.
That's exciting. We're going to get into Stowers and Lemon in a second. But other pieces of news. Jaden Reed got a 3-year, $50 million extension. He's probably the best wide receiver in Green Bay. I don't know what that means for Dynasty, but because they're all, you know, kind of a hodgepodge together. But does Jaden Reed being in Green Bay and getting – this isn't, by the way, that much money in the grand scheme of the wide receiver world. Like, this was the deal, like, basically to the number that Christian Kirk, like, broke the NFL with, like, $3 million. So this isn't that much money, but – they are committing to him. So what do you think of Jaden Reed in Dynasty? Is he the best wide receiver in Green Bay? And what does that mean to you?
I'm a bit of a Christian Watson guy. Like, it's been up and down, rough. But look, he got past the hamstring thing. I think the hamstring injury, like, we've gotten past it. ACL really plagued that injury talk. But I'm a big fan of him. And I feel like when you're messing in Green Bay and you're looking at a max 20% target share getting to each player, give me the guy that has the better chance of getting the big touchdown plays. So, yeah, I think I'm going to have Christian Watson ranked a bit higher than Jaden Reed, but I guess it works out for both parties. You know, if you're a Jaden Reed believer, you've got an extension. You got a little longevity there with him. You know, he's going to be with the team for a bit. And if you don't believe, this is your best window to sell him.
Yes.
You know, I think this might be the highest his dynasty value is going to hit. You know, a nice, secure 3-year contract. That means 4 more years in Green Bay. That means I'm selling where I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Watson will probably be next because I'm looking at his contract. He's only got 1 year left before a void year in 27. So they'll hopefully figure him out. If they're going to pay him the same amount as Jaden Reed, then yeah, I agree with you, probably Watson. But for now, it's I'll take Reed, and I'm with you. I'm kind of just selling the Packers. they're all kind of the same to me. I've said that for years. So they're just enough to really make you want to pull your hair out as you as one does well and the other doesn't. You start the wrong one every week. So
every time. Yeah.
It's a tough mix. Okay. This is more of a rumor than anything, but the belief is Brandon Ayuk will be playing for the Commanders. He has not been cut by the Niners yet, but is expected to happen. So the Commanders obviously added Antonio Williams, but not much else. So what do you think of Brandon Ayuk, hopefully now healthy in Washington?
I hope the rumor's true. That's all I can say. As far as best ball exposure, like pre-NFL draft, it was like 80% Brandon Ayuk. He was so late. You're not getting a guy that could be easily a wide receiver two or, you know, worst, you know, a fringe wide receiver two, wide receiver three. I just had to do it. I picked him up everywhere. I got him. I just traded for him in a Dynasty. Just flopped a third round pick for him. So I'm willing to take the risk.
Yeah, absolutely. I think trying to do like a trade brain here. If you could turn Jaden Reed into Ayuk in like a 26 first, I would do that. Just get out of the whole Packers thing. So it would depend on where the first is. Don't give me like I'm learning, and we're going to do a quick mock later. God, it gets dark really fast.
That cliff, it's there.
In the back end, yeah, it's bad. And then Stephen Jones says, George Pickens will not receive an extension and will play under the tag. And I write in the notes, I'm sure that will go smoothly because Pickens is a nice, normal, calm human being. And Pickens hasn't signed it yet. So any worries yet, or is this just another stare down and the guy's just going to sign it at some point and Pickens is a Cowboy on week one?
I mean, I think that could happen. We could still have problems. You know, he will still be playing just on the 1 year deal. So whether that means him holding out of things, holding in, whatever it's called nowadays, you know, but, or even at the end of the year, we saw him last year, you know, all of a sudden, you know, injuries pop up or just the, I don't cares pop into play. Yeah. So I think it's still going to be risky regardless. And the price you're having to pay, It's up there. It's top 10 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I could get top 10 value for Pickens back, I might just cut bait. I know he's a really good player, but man, George, there's a lot darker places for you to be than Dallas. And I'm telling you that, like, you'll be the number one wide receiver with Mendoza, and that's going to be a whole lot worse. So don't do something crazy.
Yeah. You could be, you know, maybe you don't win a championship in Dallas, but you're going to have great stats. You know, you're going to have Hall of Fame competing stats potentially, but,
and then Vegas can overpay for you then after that, because that's what they do. But careful, they're going to like send your ass to Miami or something, man. You're going to have to sit with Willis and all that other rebuilding stuff. Oh, so gosh, don't complain too much.
No kidding.
Okay. And the minor news. So I say this every time I put him on here. There's like three linemen that are worth fantasy news, and Trent Williams is absolutely one of them. He is back on the Niners 2-year extension. The line's fully solidified, back, good to go. Awesome. The 49ers signed their sixth running back. In Sincere McCormick, which that backfield's really gross, and we're going to get to the wrong Indiana running back that they took, and they did. The Eagles traded for Jonathan Greenard. I was wondering about this, and I don't know what went through your head when you saw this trade. Are the Vikings rebuilding?
Does this feel like a reset? I think it was more of just a remodel. Is what the, you know, like it was alleviating cap, which they had cap issues, and they had, I think, only five picks, maybe four picks coming into the draft. So it gave them 2 third-round picks. So I think it was just like a kind of a win-win for them as far as like fixing a few problems that the previous GM, because they don't even have a GM right now, do they, technically?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's, so I think you can tell by their first-round pick that they have a, don't have a GM right now. So, yeah, that was tough. And then Tyree Wilson traded to the Saints. He's going to get a new kind of coat of paint, and hopefully he'll be better than he was in Vegas. Okay, draft recap. So for the show sheet, it's on the back of the show sheet. I sorted it by position and round, but so to help you as a guide. But where's the teardrop now in rookie drafts? I think, you know, as you and I just mentioned, it gets dark fast. So who is that last kind of player, or what number in picks are you trying to not or to be in?
I mean, honestly, 106 is the point that I'd be open to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if somebody threw out, you know, hey, I'm taking this player, I don't think I could make much of an argument, you know, about the point you get at 106, you know. There at the very top, you've got Love, you have, you know, the big three wide receivers, Mendoza there in Superflex, but, like, you know, KC, Concepcion, like, you know, you could go there, Ty Simpson, you can go Price, I think, you know, I'd have Price locked up there, but, like, Sadiq, I'm cool with any of it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at on that one?
I think in TA leagues where it's tight end premium, I will begrudgingly put Sadiq in that tier. But man, the Jets and the Browns really pissed all over our rookie drafts, didn't they? I mean, they took Cooper, Boston, Concepcion, and Sadiq. About, there was a 20-pick span that just blew up our rookie drafts to smithereens. So, yeah, I think it's probably the 106 because, it's Mendoza, the three wide receivers, and Love. Oh, I guess Price. Where are you on Price? Is that 6? Yeah,
I'll put Price in that group. Okay. I'd be okay with, so 7. Price and eliminating Lemon.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Why is that?
I guess coming into the process, I wasn't a big Lemon pusher, but I also wasn't like negative Lemon. I'm just kind of neutral, sitting on the fence, but...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those. You got to have some. And when I say bust, I mean it doesn't hit for us. He could still be great in the NFL. He could still have a great career at some point. But sometimes taking certain guys where you take them in rookie drafts, it'd be a bust. You know, if you could get him later in the draft, he wouldn't be. But that whole slot system. He is now the new Devonta Smith. Devonta Smith had a great season. But he was also back there, and he was the second fiddle in an offense that doesn't throw it a whole lot, that has a Saquon Barkley. So, if you want to take Price and you want to start punting after that, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And Philly's not really keeping their stuff together right now. I mean, Stoutland went on new heights and basically lit Sirianni on fire. So, it's, he he basically said what happened last year was poor execution in terms of play calling and all that stuff. So he basically, yeah, just ripped Sirianni to pieces, and there's hit pieces on Jalen Hurts. And I want Jalen Hurts to, this is going to be a small rant. I want Jalen Hurts to leave. Philly doesn't deserve him. Like, he's a good quarterback, and Philly won. I don't know if you're a Philly fan. If you are, I'm sorry. But if Philly won two Super Bowls in like 10 years, and now they think they deserve to win it every year. And that's not how this works.
And he was arguably the MVP in the year they lost.
Yes.
He played a phenomenal game in that, yes, in that loss. Like,
yes.
It was just a bad loss. Like, yeah, it was a great game from him. I agree. You know, Philly, they get that win, and man, you know, they
get all high up. Yeah, it's just, I don't get it.
They got a loving fan group, that's for sure.
There was, like, I think it was Jamie Eisenberg talked about this on CBS this morning. He was like, if Philly has a bad year, Sirianni could get fired and Hurts could be traded. It's like, why? They were double-digit wins basically every year under Sirianni, except for that one explosion year they had a couple years ago. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. Who were the veteran winners and losers for this draft? Like, who got some boost for you?
I mean, we'll use the word veteran lightly here, yeah, because it's year two for them. But Bashaul Tootin. I mean, the fact that they there's all those
out.
Yeah, there's rumors coming right there right before the draft about the Jags wanting to maybe trade up or do something. Maybe they did, but they didn't. So Bashaul Tootin is going to be going there as the you know, the lead back for whatever that is in that three-headed monster, possibly with Laquan Allen and C-Rod. But I definitely think he came out of it pretty well. I didn't write down my winners and losers, so I am looking
for... I can say one while you think.
What else you got?
Geno just got a lot of help. And I'm not telling everyone to go give a first for Geno, but I mean, people are giving him away for free. And if you want to go get Geno as your QB3, I promise you, you could do worse. I know it's the Jets and everyone's going to say this big stink, but he now has Garrett Wilson, Omar Cooper, Kenyon Sadiq, Mason Taylor, and Breece Hall. Sounds good to me.
You talked about how like the Jets and Cleveland just absolutely ruined the draft for us. They did, but I also walked out of it thinking they had two of the best drafts out of everybody.
Yes, agreed.
Which I kind of feel bad for their fans in the sense of, look at that. They're like holding it right in front of you. They're just dangling the carrot. You're going to get excited. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, my franchise is doing good things. And then they're just going to do those things that they do and break your heart. So like, but I thought the drafts were great. Both offenses look so much better, like just worldly better with what they added. And I'm excited to see which quarterback falls in their lap next year, because it might actually be a good situation.
Yeah. And knowing the Jets, Geno's going to win just enough to get him like
they're going to have to use all three
to get up to one. Oh my God. I'm just picturing it now. They just have to trade all their picks to get a quarterback. Ugh.
Do you think they would trade, like, if they traded all three of their next year's first plus the, you know, sometimes if you get 3 years out, like that would be five first round picks for Arch or whoever they end up going after.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you can in their situation. They need so much.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, they did a lot this draft, like to your point. But go throw like $1 billion at Kyler instead or something. Like, go find someone else. Like, you don't have to test Arch or spend a bunch of capital on Arch. Go get a quarterback in free agency and spend around him that way.
Yeah, they can't.
That's put how I would do it. But especially because they're going to lose Hall and... Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to figure out a lot of things next year, so we'll have to see. But, yeah, no, it's tough. Do you have a loser?
A loser. Honestly? Just say us. Because Washington, what did Washington do to address the running back room? oh, let's draft somebody in the fifth round. So now you have to cycle through all of these guys. Yes, the fun seventh round pick from last year in Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. We've also got McNichols. We've got Rashad White. They have one other guy. And then the rookie there, like, it's maddening. Do you take a shot because you do it ambiguity? Or, like, do you, like, yeah, I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet for myself.
It stinks because I'm not as big of a Ka'Tron Allen hater as some. He went to the wrong place, though. Like, I wish that was Emmett Johnson or Hemby or someone who can kind of do more than just run straight up the middle like Allen can. So, a winner for me, by the way, Tony Pollard. Or insert starting whichever one of the two they're going to do, because they didn't draft anyone except Singleton, who is most likely a year away because he has some bad foot injury that they're definitely not going to rush him back from.
That one was a rough situation too. Again, I really thought they were going to address the back situation with something like a Emmett Johnson. Loved him in the draft run. Yeah. I loved him and the fact that he is now the handcuff to Kenneth Walker's, it kills me a little bit inside.
Yeah. Hemby going undrafted just made no, I had to literally go back and look to, like, I thought I missed him when I was writing all these names down yesterday. I genuinely thought I had missed Hemby, and it's like, no, he's an undrafted free agent, which just blew my mind. He was obviously the better Indiana running back, in my opinion. So
I don't remember who picked him up.
I don't either, but I can look. While I type,
Tyler Shuck, call him a winner too.
Just kidding. Big one.
Getting Jordan Tyson, getting Bryce Lance, getting, you know, kick the tires, find out what that is. They picked up a tight end as well. I'm drawing a blank.
Delp, Georgia guy.
There you go.
I forget what round. I think he was like third round. Hemby went to the Raiders. Oh, what the hell?
Well, they also picked up Washington.
Why did all of our fun running backs go to Vegas?
Cam Scadabo, big winner.
Huge winner. Loser for me, probably Fannin. I know a lot of people like him, but that target share, it's not going up. I'll tell you that much. So when you had Concepcion and Boston 10 picks apart, I'm not putting Fannin like outside the top 12 or anything, but he's not top three stratosphere he has been.
So I usually look at, like, there's usually about six startable tight ends, and then you have about 12 high-end streamers.
Yep.
He's probably going to be more in that high-end streamer. Like, okay. You're not necessarily going to drop him, but there might be weeks where, like, all right, I need to pick up somebody different. It's essentially like I don't want to draft him, because if I can't start him consistently and confidently each and every week, I don't want to draft that guy and put in capital typically.
Yeah. I think for me, I would put him like at six in that six starting tight ends tier.
Oh, yeah. It's
because I assume for you it's McBride, Bowers, Loveland, Warren. Who are the other two? I know six was probably arbitrary, but
no, that's what it's usually right around six. Is what that looks like. Oh my god, why am I drawing a blank right now?
I said it fast, so while he looks it up, it's Trey McBride, Brock Bowers, Colston Loveland, Tyler Warren, and then there's two more.
Tucker Kraft, Sam Laporta.
Yep.
Kyle Pitts is going to be on that cusp.
If he stays.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They don't have any pass catchers. What do? They got a Branch.
Like, yeah,
they don't have enough pass catchers. It can't just be Bijan in London.
Branch was a fun fit, though. I liked that fit. He's a little fast guy who's just gonna be better Mooney. They're not gonna trade him. There was rumors they are, but just they're not gonna do that. I think that's negotiating tactics.
Yeah, for sure.
Gadsden or
I think I'd take probably take Fannin.
Yeah.
I probably take Fannin. I think he's like, you know, they added two weapons, but they're rookies. You know, end of the day, it's going to take a little bit of time. And Gadsden, he is lost in the sauce, man. They just picked up another rookie wide receiver that is incredibly talented.
I know a lot of people liked this guy. I hadn't heard of him. The little Mississippi State guy, right?
Brendan? Yeah. I just had to sort of digging into him too. He wasn't really a part of the profiles that I was looking at. Yeah. But Trey Harris, I liked Trey Harris. Love Keenan Allen, but dude, stay away. If you come in here and screw up the target share that much more, I'm going to pull out my freaking hair because you still have QJ and Ladd. You know, QJ didn't get traded. So I that's my biggest worry with Gadsden. And the running game. The running game is going to be nasty under McDaniel. Mm-hmm. Like, I like Keaton Mitchell. I'm pumped up. There's literally not a piece on the Chargers that I'm not pumped for, and I can't believe there hasn't been more hype for them in the offseason because I figured they were going to hit a price that I don't want to pay. I'm still buying.
Yeah. We need like the Chargers to be Hard Knocks so everyone can get into these values. People don't love Hard Knocks like they used to, but it's the Seahawks this year. I think that's weird. I've never seen the champions do it. So
yeah, I think the Patriots got the next one too. So I was like, yeah,
both that's Super strange. Bowl teams pulling out. I've never seen people actually want to do it, so that's strange that they actually did it. By the way, if you had Gadsden, Fannin over Gadsden, you have Fannin at 8, basically on the rankings. Looking at it. So
yeah, so he's like right on that cusp that like he feels more like a starter, but you probably should more treat him like a streamer.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers' agent was a winner. Because Pittsburgh's ready to roll, man. They just don't have a quarterback. And it makes me so sad that Miami sold Malik Willis like the wrong bill of goods. Because can you imagine that Pittsburgh offense with Jeremy added and they fixed the line and you put Willis under center?
Pittman, DK, beautiful. Yeah. It's
and Pittman.
And they added the midshipman. They got the kid from Navy too, pass catching running back.
Yeah,
Team could be fun. This team could be fun.
Yeah, they're gonna do like wildcat sets with Heidenreich because he can throw and run.
Put Darnell Washington back there. Let him like the ball a few times.
Yeah.
You know,
let's just do it. Yeah, this will be fun. We're gonna have fun with Pittsburgh. They just need any quarterback at all. That's not. We have a Will Howard QB competition in 2026. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh. So it's going to be rough.
Like Jameis Winston. Come on, buddy. Come on down.
Oh, please. That'd be so fun. Oh, God. Okay. So I have just laid out a quick round one mock here. So you and I will just alternate real quick and just we can kind of show where we're thinking on some of these players. So I wonder who you're taking 101.
And we're talking single or super flex?
Let's do super flex because that's TA. So cool. It's super flex dynasty. 101 is.
Alrighty. It might be not consensus, but I'm going to go with Jeremiah Love.
Okay. That was easy. I will go Mendoza. It's a super flex league. I know he's rumored to sit, but don't overthink it.
I've taken a wide receiver at the 102.
Have you?
It was kind of team specific, the build and the whole situation. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't need another quarterback.
That I get. If you don't need it.
Yeah. I kind of see it up for like an argument on either side, but it would definitely be Fernando if I'm just doing generic rankings. I'm gonna go Jordan Tyson as my 103.
Okay. You and I are in the same boat. I have Tyson as one of these three as well. I struggle with this. I've gone back and forth a lot.
My argument, my argument with this is more, hey, are you trying to contend? Are you looking points from him this year? Take Tate. If he is your wide receiver 4 or 5, whatever, then absolutely I want Tyson. I think the higher ceiling is Tyson. I think the higher floor is Tate.
Does Olave have to leave for him to hit that ceiling?
I think the ceiling grows if Olave leaves, but I still think he could have a height. I think we could see both of these guys in the top 16 together, top 12, maybe you know, that magical season.
Yeah. God, that'd be great to see the Saints back to like slinging the ball around the Superdome type offense.
I'm a Colts fan, so I've had pity for him for a little bit, but I still remember. People don't forget.
Well, I'm a Bears fan. I don't forget 2006 either. So, yeah, I don't. Oh, yeah, that's funny. Devin Hester, and then nothing else.
Coolest play. Coolest play. I hated that. My least favorite Super Bowl I've ever watched. I think. Well, not quite true, but you know.
Mine too, for different reasons probably. I've been going back and forth on Tate and Lemon because it's kind of the same thought process as Tyson, right? In theory, Lemon's in the better offense. So, for me, I will take Mekhi Lemon at 4. And then, I assume you're taking Tate at 5.
Yeah, give me Tate.
All right. Now things get gross. Well, I guess not. Jadarian Price.
I was going to say, I was hoping you could take a wide receiver there and leave it slam dunk. Okay. Yeah, give me KC.
Okay.
Give me KC here.
I like KC Concepcion. I just wish he had gone just about anywhere else.
That's...
Now I have to go look at the draft picks again because I already forgot them.
I was going to say, there's probably... There's two players. I think there's another tier break after like two more players for me.
I feel like I'm nice missing somebody.
I get to grab one of the two that you don't grab most likely, and then you have to make the next big decision here. Because 110,
I'll take Sadiq. I don't love it, but the value it's a first round tight end.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Pick 9.
Give me Ty Simpson.
Ooh. Okay.
Give me Ty. I mean, he's tied to Puka most likely. We have Sean McVay. The Rams draft well. You know, solid organization over the last decade-ish. I mean, essentially since they got to L.A. So it's a funky situation, but I'll take a shot.
Mm-hmm. You're not scared of McVay leaving when Stafford does? Because that's been talked about.
Sure, but he's like Brett Favre. He's talked about retirement for several years now. Yes. I think that if he sees enough from Ty Simpson, I think he's afraid to sit there and lose and wait through a rebuild, as we saw the last time. But they found Puka and a lot of things changed. I think if he sees enough from Ty Simpson, he'd be like, oh, I'll hang out for at least a year.
That's fair. I remember when Brett Favre literally did a press conference crying as he was retiring from the Packers, and I think he was a Jet 2 weeks later. And that was when I really put Favre in the trash can.
You know, the one of the rare few times that you can actually say, hey, EA, appreciate you doing that for us, when they gave us the updated Madden cover when he switched on us, because I had one of the Packers games, and it came out, he swapped. I'm like, all right, well, come on, pony up, give me that new screen.
Yeah, I like that. And the Packers one's probably a collector's item now, knowing how video games and all that work.
Oh, you know, I sold that thing to GameStop for $1.
I'm between two, and since we're just doing this out loud, I'm between Stribling and Stowers, honestly. And I think that can depend on need, but for the sake of this, I will take DeJon Stribling.
Interesting.
San Francisco. And apparently Ayuk is leaving, so there's going to be spots. For Stribling.
I need to do a little bit more looking into him. Did not expect him to be a day two pick, much less the first pick of day two.
Yeah. The rumor was they were looking at him in round one and they traded back, so they just took him 33.
That's great. See, this is where don't even get me started on Black, because like that whole situation.
Apparently Shanahan didn't know that one was coming either. I don't know if you've seen the video, but
yeah. Freaking John Lynch, man. We need to talk about your picks.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Omar Cooper.
Okay.
Go Omar Cooper. I know it's Jets, but it's a first-round prospect. And I don't know. You know, there's a chance. Lots of crazy things happen. Who knows if Garrett Wilson finishes out the contract there. You know, if the Jets get themselves up to where they need to be, and all of a sudden that's the next step is, you know, moving on from him, Omar's made the jump, but first round draft capital, give it to me.
Yeah. That's where I struggle with a lot of these is just the draft capital because it feels like it's backwards this year. Like, if Jonah Coleman was two spots higher, he would be in the first round, slam dunk, lock it in, rookie pick. But he's not.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for the 12th pick, I'm taking Eli Stowers. I think he could start as kind of this Trey Burton, young Dallas Goedert kind of gadgety tight end. And then I'm pretty sure all three Eagles tight ends are on one-year deals. So send them all out to pasture and load it up. So that's why I would take Stowers. It's, you probably have to wait a year, but
No, I'm
he could score you a couple. Yeah. And then my last pick of the draft recap, and then we'll get to Dennis Tudd's questions, who wasn't sending questions for about 2 weeks, and boy, howdy, did he make up for it. Because he sent about 10. My question is, would you trade a late first away this year for a random second in 27?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I guess I would, depending on my league, it's a horrible answer, I know, but like, mm-hmm. you know, if you have one of those leagues that are just absolutely bonkers about the 27 picks and they're, you know that they're going to get all hype and they're going to pay out the nose for it. Sure. If you're, you know, that late, like right about the 110, I think is where you can make that gamble, I guess, if you will. But mm-hmm. I almost feel like it'd be better value to trade for a player.
Yes.
You know, that you potentially could get a second or more for than that second, yeah. because then you're locked into that value. You have no idea potentially where that person's going to fall. So it's rough. But that 110, 111, 112, I think those are about equal to all the way to like the 210, maybe even 301. It's a crapshoot, man. My drafts have been just so flat. Crazy.
It's just the whole value curve just got smushed right after.
I've got three rookie drafts that were already through two rounds, and one of them we had two running backs in the first. One of them we had five running backs in the first.
Wow.
Yeah. Singleton, is he the one that went to Tennessee?
Yep.
Yeah, he went, I think it was 106 or 107. I'm not going to throw out names, but they make content.
Yeah.
These people in that league, they make content. So they're. Yeah.
I get it. And Singleton, you only have to watch the Auburn game to see how good Singleton is. But a fourth round running back going to the 106.
I think he was fifth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a day three running back, we'll call it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he was fifth.
Oh, man. Because, yeah, that's like you were talking about Pollard's a winner. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. I like Tajay Spears, but unfortunately, Pollard might still just keep doing it.
I was actually, funny story, I was writing these names down, and I realized I had wrote Emmett Johnson, running back Minnesota, as opposed to Kansas City, because everyone had told me for like 6 months that Emmett Johnson is going to go to Minnesota. Scott Fish said it. Ian Fish said it. Any fantasy analyst out there said like he's a perfect fit for Minnesota. So I had literally written down Emmett Johnson, Minnesota, on this sheet, and I had to go back and fix it because
they had the chance to take him. He went four like picks three after times. Theirs. They took what a fullback tight end hybrid.
Yeah,
and then Kansas City takes him four picks later. I'm like, wow.
They had so many chances. They had two picks at the end of round three, and they didn't take. They took like defensive tackles at both.
Look, I don't play the game that the NFL scripted, but if it is, they're trolling the hell out of us this year.
this is the backup writers.
So right. It's just, yeah. Replacement refs and writers are on the same schedule. Replacement refs
in the writers room. Yeah. The real writers are in a contract strike, like the writers strike like a few years ago.
Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I agree with you, by the way, on the pick. It's just fun. It's kind of a funny way to think about it. Cause I have heard people kind of complain on socials that I'd rather have a second in next year's draft than anything like in the back end. And it's like, okay, we'll prove it. Like, show me that ticket where you did that. And the problem is what player are you going to get for the 110? Like, is there anything, what player would you give away for? Let's ask it that way. What player would you give away for the 110? It's going to be down there. It's going to be,
I don't want to buy any of these.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to scroll way the hell down. Would you trade Mike Evans for the 110?
No. Oh, Oh, yeah. My God. I'd rather have Mike Evans in the 110.
Okay. By the way, that's wide receiver 53 that I just read. Would you rather have Shahid or the 110?
I guess the 110's hard because, like, who's there at the 110?
I'm just – okay, fine. We'll call it late first. All right, we'll scroll back up. This isn't correct, but we'll just say this. Jaden Reed is one spot ahead of Mike Evans.
I don't want either one, man.
I know.
I guess I'll take Jaden Reed just because of the new contract signing like we talk about. I think I could get something for him. More than the 110. Oh, that's grody.
Would you rather have Dubs or the 110?
The 110.
Yeah. Dubs got nerfed real fast.
Real quick.
He thought he was getting the one spot he finally deserved. And
you see Dontavian Wicks there opening up to the new over there in the Eagles. He's like, yeah, AJ Brown's gonna be your problem now, buddy.
Yeah, right. Seriously. I'm looking at the running backs. Obviously,
I'd rather have Geno Smith or the 110.
The 110, but man, it's closer than I'd like. It's bad. It's really bad. Like, here's one. Would you rather have the incredibly volatile Malik Willis or the 110? I did a mock today.
If I'm contending Malik Willis, if I'm rebuilding 110.
I did a mock today for my friends league. It's how I kind of do these rookie drafts and prep. And Malik Willis is on the board, and I mocked him to the 107. I just what else are you gonna do that gives you that much upside?
Yeah, you're not wrong. Unless it's like Ty Simpson, just because it's quarterback retained value, you know, like that kind of situation. And his value shouldn't move at all unless Stafford gets hurt. I think his value goes up. So, like, otherwise it should completely stay neutral until next season when we know more about Stafford's situation. Ah, God, that's gross, though. Like, finding out where that line is. Ooh.
Would you rather have the tanking RJ Harvey or the 110? Talk about a Titanic. There's our loser, by the way.
I think I'd rather have the 110, and I'll take Jonah Coleman.
Yeah. By the way, there's our loser. That Jonah Coleman, is a much more talented back. Yeah, which is weird, because he went in the fourth round in this class, and Harvey went in what, like the second round in his class?
Something broken. Second. That's crazy.
Yeah. We said Scadabo's a winner. I was just looking at some of these. Would you rather have Barkley or the 110's kind of easy, right? It's still Barkley. Yeah.
Let's rebuilding. Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the listener questions. He said, you know how we hear Team X had only 12 first round grades this year? We should do that in Dynasty 2. So how many guys would you say are first or second worthy in a more normal year? Where's the cutoff? Let's just do first, because second's going to get gross really quickly. So how many guys would have a first round grade? Let's just say in 25, because putting them in 27, they're going to be third rounders, because 27's just ridiculous.
I think safely I'd say three.
Love. Like,
if we're trying to fit them into the 25 draft, I think three could fit in there for sure. Love, Tyson Tate for me.
I think Mendoza too, because I think he and Ward are kind of the same. But I don't know how the film graders did it across. They do different things. Like, Mendoza is not kind of the field general that Ward is. I don't know. It's interesting because.
So here's the top 12 from last year. You had Ashton Gentry, Omarion Hampton, Trayvon Henderson, Tet, Travis Hunter, R.J. Harvey, Emeka Buka, Caleb Johnson, Matthew Golden, Warren, Judkins, and Loveland. So I think you can pull out Travis Hunter, R.J. Harvey, Caleb Johnson, and Matthew Golden for sure.
Yeah.
I think everybody else I'd keep then. So, yeah, that leaves you four spots. So Mendoza, two wide receivers in Love.
Yep, and Jadarian Price is probably your 201.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Jaden That's Higgins gross. Was 201. I'd definitely want him. Scatabo was 202, though, so I'd want him over.
Yeah. That's Scatabo is probably a first rounder. I know.
This also Dart. Has Burden as second round ADP. I would have had him in the first round.
Yep. Last year's draft is aging pretty well with the Giants, Twins, and the and Burden. And yeah, no, it's aging pretty well. But yeah, I think that's kind of, I think it's, I agree with you. It's probably three or four. Second, who knows? Probably the rest of this first round, but the second got kind of gross last year. All right. What did pre-draft? I think you misspelled something. Pre-draft was Tate. Oh, talk probably. Talk was Tate was a good wide receiver too in real life, but possibly not great for fantasy because he could be an unpredictable JMO type. Yes, he went higher than anticipated, but the QB is questionable without or with other decent receiving weapons in Ridley and Wandale. There's another loser, by the way, is Wandale. Why should he now go 102? He shouldn't, first off. But I don't know, Brian, what do you think? Why are we valuing Tate in this kind of upper tier when, to Ari's point, right, he went to a questionable quarterback, a questionable offense?
I like it's Brian Daboll. Yeah, I was going to say, I like Daboll. I like what I saw from Ward at the end of the year, at least. And, you know, if that offensive line can protect him a little bit, he now has weapons. I guess they didn't fix the running back room now that I think of it. I thought that was going to be Love. But, you know, either way, they went to make improvements on both sides of the ball. This team should function a little bit better, put Ward in better situations. So I think it's just more that Tate was the safest wide receiver of the bunch of the three. Lemon was the biggest question mark just because of his volatility. I think of how big his window of like ceiling floor is. Tate seemed to have the higher floor, Tyson the higher ceiling. So it's, do you believe in Tennessee? If you believe in Tennessee, I think he's, the volume's going to be there. You know, there's no reason he shouldn't break 1,000 yards in year one. That's 60 yards a game. It's not that many.
By the way, Arizona, this is completely your fault.
100%.
If Jeremiah Love wasn't taken at 3, he would have gone 4. Tate would have gone to New Orleans. Tyson would have gone to like Miami instead of Caden Proctor, or even LA, maybe.
Boston probably would have gone to Tennessee in the second round there.
Let's just all as a community, we're going to blame the Cardinals for messing up this rookie draft.
I bet everything 80% of their fans would too.
Yeah. This is. It just like literally, if you and I walked this down from the first, just even the first round, everything's better.
Yep.
If the Cardinals don't take Jeremiah Love. Yeah. Oh, Michael Bidwell, I hate you. Because that was his call, apparently. It was the owner's call. Yeah.
Selling tickets.
The Titans would have traded up into 31 instead of taking Keldrick Falk, probably would have taken Omar Cooper. Ugh. Just frustrating. Anyways, people consistently listing tons of veterans as winners for not getting displaced by quality rookies. Oh, sorry, we already did that. An under-discussed implication here is that there may be less turnover in Dynasty League standings this year than ever has before as aging rosters get another year to contend. So basically he's saying, do we agree that the rankings aren't going to shift as much because the big players aren't getting aged out by the younger guys this year as much?
Yes and no. You know, I think it just might be mean there's more volatility down at the bottom, you know, between those veterans getting maybe the shot that they wouldn't have gotten. But they're a veteran and they're not a starter for a reason, so maybe that rookie comes in and gives them, you know, and there's just a little bit more of the, you know, 4 weeks to get this guy, 6 weeks to this, whether it be injury or just, hey, we're going to try out something new.
Yeah. It's hard, right? Because these rookies this year, like to the conversation about Tate we just had, we have no idea what Tate's going to be in Tennessee. So if Tate is awesome in Tennessee and he and Cam Ward are the next like super tandem, then yeah, the rankings are going to move around. But to your point before, Tyson's sharing a lot this year. Tyson's not going into some situation where he's the one, and Tate, who knows, and Lemon is sharing with a lot of people. So I don't think the rankings are going to move a lot this year, but I think they could be very quick and drastic moves if someone like Tate shows up to camp in the preseason and like blows everybody away. I think there will be very sudden movements up and down this year, as opposed to kind of that slow trickle that you see in rankings in a normal off season. Okay. How much do you subscribe to the, okay. So I read this guy's theory. It's basically that the, there's a flattening of the curve in terms of talent as you get later in the draft. So it starts higher. And as you go down, it's kind of what we talked about already.
Yeah.
So he said, what's your biggest anti-draft cap take? Meaning what's the biggest gap in NFL draft cap where you're ranking and drafting one guy over another who went way earlier? If they went to the Jets or the Browns, first off,
that's
because we put Casey Concepcion at 7, unfortunately.
There are bigger things that play into it. You know, sometimes you do toss it out the window as far as like, hey, I like this coach. He went out and got his guy. I'm going to give it a shot. Even the draft capital says no, or mock draft database says no, because, you know, the consensus down here and he jumped up on it. But it's following your gut too. Like, this is also a game of luck. Talking about like every year when you look at the top 12 of every position, you think every one of those guys was somebody planned that he was up there? No, we have people finishing up. Michael Wilson, anybody see that happening? Did anybody see him even talk about him in draft season? No, absolutely freaking not. So there's volatility. So that's why, you know, people say take your guy.
Yeah. You know, I'm not ready for Carson Beck to ruin Arizona, by the way. That's that's going to be ugly.
No.
I think a perfect example for me is during our mock we just did, I took Sadiq because I thought I had to. I probably have Stowers over Sadiq right now just because of what he can be in this offense and where he's going to fit. Because Mason Taylor, I think this was also Jamie said they should trade Mason Taylor to Miami and just let him be Mason, like, which would be fun. But for now, Sadiq is sharing a whole lot. And Stowers, granted, you have to wait a year, could be getting real target share sooner rather than later. So I could see how it depends on talent and landing spot, right? Like a first-round Jets wide receiver and Deshaun Stribling, basically the first pick of the second round to San Francisco, are going to be valued the same this year, unfortunately. And sometimes that's just the product of these drafts, but that's kind of another thought of like where there's discrepancies in these things. It's never really ever a cross position though. Like I wouldn't take a third round running back over a first round tight end or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't usually cross positions like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Okay. Okay. This was my favorite question he asked. Do you treat very active trading leagues like TA leagues different than other leagues you're in from a strategy perspective? I loved this question. Someone suggested to me that depth may be more valuable in active leagues because it allows you to take more shots to capitalize on value spikes. So what do you think about this? Because I thought this was an awesome question.
I think it's 100%. This is one of the biggest things we preach on my show. Know your leagues. Know your leagues. I can give you advice, tell you what I'm doing, what's worked for me, but it's not going to work for you. I'm in 7-ish dynasty leagues, a couple with, you know, fellow creators, some with old friends that I've known forever, and some with randos. I like having
one with me now.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Smoking team that I've got. Oh man, I just fell into it. It was an orphan. I'm like, hey, sure, I'll take that team. But like, it's one of those situations. Like, know the situation that you're in. Know what you're dealing with. I've got some leagues that I know that I can trade. I know people are actively trying to get better and do things. I picked up Phillip Rivers in that league, traded him for a fourth. You know, did I really get anything? Yeah, probably not. It's a fourth, and especially in this year. But like, end of the day, I knew that by picking up if just anything that's on the waiver wire, I have a chance of flipping it just because, you know, guys are constantly moving. Constantly. In other leagues, there's maybe five or six trades throughout the entire year. Yeah, I don't bother with some of that filling the very bottom of my roster when I know I won't use it. Like, if I'm a full rebuild, I'm not picking up Jameis Winston because I know I'm not ever going to play him and I'm not going to be able to sell him for anything.
Yeah. I think in terms of rookie drafts, the Russ Fisher motto in drafts of any sort that helped build this show is what I would call it, is draft for value and trade for need. And there are leagues and people who do not subscribe to that thought. They say, I have two quarterbacks. I need to take Mendoza at the 102. Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
So when you have active leagues like Trade Addicts, where you know you can trade for that third QB down the line, it does lead you to say, I'm going to take a shot on Tate now, and I'll get Geno for a second later.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. It does help you be more best player available than trying to fill needs right away. So I think that is the main difference in terms of drafting perspective of why more active leagues work that way. So,
yeah, there was one, I guess, what, 2 years ago, the Marvin Harrison Jr., Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams year. You know, those were going to be the 1, 2, 3 picks. I had the 101 and the 103 that year. I really needed wide receiver bad. I hadn't been able to trade for one. And my thought was, okay, I'll take Marvin Harrison Jr. with the 101 because then I'm guaranteed to get one of the two quarterbacks at the 103 versus if I took a quarterback, then if he took a wide receiver, I was screwed because I didn't need a quarterback. I'm so glad I did. I took Caleb Williams, he took Marv, and then I took Jaden Daniels. Best thing that ever could have freaking happened to me. You know, I ended up flipping over one of the quarterbacks because I didn't need both of them because I already had two studs. Flipped one for, you know, Drake London and something else too. And riding great ever since. But I would have kicked myself. I wouldn't have won the chip that year. I wouldn't have been looking good this year. It was,
yeah.
I almost did it. I tilt, though. I am world famous for tilting. My wife knows I tilt. We go to the grocery store to go pick out something. I sit there and I'll tilt and grab the wrong thing. Hey, go grab salad dressing. Cool. Yeah, I grabbed the wrong one.
Are you a guy who FaceTimes your wife to make sure you're picking the right salad dressing off the shelf and all that
stuff? Oh, no. I just won't grab it, you know. I'm a what I can fit in my hands guy, too. That's why she hates sending me to the store. I refuse to get a cart. I pick up my hands, or I'll get a bucket. You go to Walmart, I'll go pick up a bucket from the bucket aisle, and I'll use that as my basket. And you leave it at self-checkout. Horrible.
It's like peeling an onion with you, Brian. I like it. Oh, that's great. I am also a hand shopper. I will try and grab like five things and just like carry them down the aisle. Like I have one under my chin. And just people in self-checkout are staring at me. It's fine.
That's why I love Sam's, because you can pay right on your phone and all you got to do is be able to hold it to walk out. I don't have to go through anything.
Exactly. Okay. He says, does drafting Tyson and sleeper pick darling Bryce Lance suggest that the Saints may let Olave go after this season, or do you think they continue to go all in on arming Shuck with more weapons? He said this. I haven't heard anything about Olave actually leaving. He got extended, right?
I don't think he's been extended yet, but I believe they came out recently saying they want to extend him. I know like last August he was in the trade rumors with like the Patriots when they were looking to trade. So I know that there was talk at a certain point, but I think they're at the point now where they've got a guy on a rookie contract. You know, they have the money, all those cans they kicked down the road. I think they're finally passing most of them. You know, seriously. I think they moved there.
They don't have negative $85 million in cap space or whatever that ridiculous number used to be.
Right. And I don't think he doesn't have the leverage for JSN money.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's going to be more like Jamar Chase money, but that's significantly less than what Puka and JSN are fetching right now. So I don't know why you'd get rid of him. I love the idea of it for Tyson's because I don't have any Chris Olave. So I love it for that, but no, I don't. Saints can't get rid of him.
Yeah. Rocky and I were a big anti-Olave podcast, and man, did he prove us wrong this year. So I'm willing to hear more about Olave, but yeah, let's see Shaq take the next step first before hyper-targeting Olave some more. Okay. He said, before the draft, timeshare running backs were much more risky due to added competition. But how do you value the guys who avoided that? Guys like Corum, Pollard, Menungai, Tootin, et cetera. So you talked about Tootin already as a big winner for you. We talked about Pollard. I didn't realize Corum was in trouble.
I thought he still was from Jarquez Hunter from last year.
Jarquez Hunter. Ugh. Menungai, I mean, the Bears took that little dude from LSU. I think his name is Xavier Thomas. And Ben Johnson said he's going to make him a running back.
I was going to say he's a wide receiver, right?
Didn't he's 5'9", like 170, soaking wet. And Ben Johnson's going to make – I don't know what he's going to do with him, but – he's going to I'll spoil it for you. He's going to be kick returner is what his position is. So I'm not worried about Menungai. Corum. I think Corum and Menungai are exactly where they were a couple months ago. I think.
Yeah. Borderline flex, but more so RB2s.
And if their ones go down, they're top 10 running backs.
Yeah. If they come into the lead role, they're great, but they're just shiny handcuffs. Pollard, he's a low-end RB2, but he's the starter. Tootin, I think he's more of a middling to high-end RB2 with RB1 upside.
Yeah. Okay, and then his last question is, lots of talk about the league leading even more into 12 and 13 personnel while we're getting deep now. Going way earlier than in previous years, which teams still have a shallow tight end room, leaving more room for 2+ wide receivers to play and produce, which, okay, let's shorten this. Is the real answer just to sell, you know, those secondary wide receiver twos, not the JMOs, are they just in a pile? Like, you know, the Troy Franklins of the world.
I think we just need to make sure we understand the value of them. Yeah. Like they're still going to be useful for your team. You know, closer to like wide receiver fours in value, maybe high end wide receiver fours, low threes, but it's going to be like, you still need them. Wide receivers get banged up all the time. Running backs get banged up all the time. So they'll still be rotational pieces, but I think it's something like, this is a perfect draft not to get enamored with those. Denzel Boston. Does he ever become the one for his team? Probably not. Omar Cooper. Mm-hmm. Probably not. Bernard, maybe. Antonio Williams, maybe. Chris Bell, probably not. Stribling, probably not. Branch, probably not. You know, like, all of these guys are going to be wide receivers who's on their team at best. That's not value I want.
By the way, I said Troy Franklin. Jalen Waddle being traded to the Broncos feels like a year ago.
It does. I'm so excited, man. Throw Waddle in too, that freaking...
I just completely forgot about it until I said Troy Franklin, but that feels like a year ago that happened. DJ Moore feels like a year ago.
It's so long. And yet, May's almost here. Football's around the corner. I can't wait.
SFB drafts are coming. Well, that is the end of our show sheet, so that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Brian, for coming to help us celebrate the draft, as we always do. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
At @too_much_Brian on Twitter or Blue Skies, where you'll find most of my stuff. It's all run up there. I've got Too Much Fantasy Football show over there on the Fantasy Football Advice Network or my YouTube channel, Too Much Fantasy Football. Or, hey, look, we just digested a lot of football right now. Maybe you need a break over the next few months. You're looking for a little movie action. We got Too Much Movie Night over there. We've done 100 movie reviews, plus we've got drafts that we do. Little different style, a little fun. Mm-hmm. We just knocked out James Bond, the worst and the best of the 26.
What was your worst?
Oh my god, I couldn't even tell you. Honestly, we did that one 2 weeks ago. We did the best just this past week, and like, those names start running together.
What was the best then? Do you remember the best?
Was it Goldeneye? Okay. I think it might have been Goldeneye.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. Yeah, good. Had another question. Are you in SFB and all that stuff yet? Are you doing live drafts?
Live draft. We finally got one in Virginia, so I'm going to Richmond's live draft. I haven't picked my league yet, but Scott Fish. This is what, 4 years in a row for me? So pretty pumped, pretty excited. My second year in a row going to a live draft. I don't have to drive 5 hours this year. I'm all about that though.
Good. That's very exciting. Our stuff, patreon.com/TrekSpot. You can watch what we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. And of course, the most important thing is Fantasy Care. Zach Reed's rookie report is up for everyone to have their rookie draft have alongside them. The Hoot Nanny is actually going to do a couple more shows. They usually stop after the NFL draft, so they're going to do a couple more shows. So everyone should go check them out on the Fantasy Care's YouTube channel and wherever you get your podcasts. Joey Wright does trivia Tuesday nights, and of course the Wednesday night hangout, the most chaotic non-football talking hangout in the media today. So with that, as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.